This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Well, today our special guest is Mark Brown. Mark is with Plains Cotton Growers. We'll talk cotton in just a moment. First, hear from USDA Chief Economist Seth Meyer. Some key numbers in USDA's trade forecast.
For fiscal year 24, exports are at $169.5 billion. Now, that is a downward revision of about $2.5 billion from August, mostly on lower grain and animal product values. Imports, we got higher by $500,000 than previously forecast, and mostly an increase on beef, vegetable oil, and grain products. And those imports now stand at an even $200 billion. And exports of $169.5 billion. So there is a trade deficit in there.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by Mark Brown. Mark is Director of Field Services with Plains Cotton Growers, headquartered in Lubbock. And speaking to the field, out traveling today, right?
Yes, Tony, I'm actually in an adjacent county to where you're at, and I'm over here in Hale County today, actually sitting in Plainview, Texas.
Well,
my hometown.
Maybe it's a good opportunity then to kind of get an update on where we are. I think if it were just me, based upon the progress I've seen so far and saw a couple of strippers running last night, I would say we're probably close to 95% done. Am I close?
I think you're very close, Tony. I think you're right on point with that. I have seen some operations going on today, some harvesting. And as I visit with Jenners and as I drive across the area, I do see just a few fields out there that are remaining. But I would say that most of the really high-yielding cotton has been harvested, and not to say there's not maybe a few good fields out there remaining, but most of what's out there is going to be some of the lower-yielding fields. And so in terms of bringing in the crop, in terms of bales that have been produced this year, well, I'd say we've got the lion's share done. Most of these counties only have a few thousand acres remaining in the fields, if that much. And I've had several that have told me that they may have 300 acres or one producer that's still harvesting. So things are winding down quickly in terms of the harvest. We started the harvest in earnest in about mid-October. So this was a fairly rapid harvest, I'd say, this year. And, you know, looking back on the weather situation, we really had pretty decent harvesting weather, with the exception of that week back in November, whenever we had a full week of really foggy and damp conditions and really high relative humidities that lasted, they just lingered all day long and really prevented the harvesting operations for about a week. But outside of that, the harvest was completed pretty quickly here this year. And unfortunately, as we all know, it is not going to be one of the bigger crops that we've produced out here.
Well, let's take that a step further. I mean, we can harvest the crop, but until we actually gin it and get it in a bale, we can't do anything with it. It can't be sold yet. So where are we as far as ginning progress? And what are you hearing from gin managers? Have they been somewhat happy about where we are?
Well, so I would say that one of the things that we need to talk about is the fact that there were many gin plants this year that chose not to operate just because of such a low amount of production in their particular area that it just really was not economically feasible to crank the gin up. And especially with entities that have more than one gin plant. We saw a lot of that. And but as I visit with the gins that have been operating across the area, most of them are on the short rows now and just waiting for those last few fields to be harvested. And it's just going to be a matter of days now. I have been to one gin that's completed its ginning season for the year and then A lot of others are telling me that within the next 5 to 10 days, they're going to have things wrapped up. And so I would say that most of the gins on the Texas High Plains will finish their ginning operation on or before Christmas. So that's a little bit unusual. A lot of times we'll see gins that'll go into the early part of the new year. But this year, I think most of the ginners are going to be home for Christmas. Now, one thing that I might say is that most of the gins are going to gin slightly more bales or have a little more production than they had last year, but that is not true across the board. There will be several gins that unfortunately did not gin as much cotton this year as they did last year. Also, I would like to say that one bright spot in terms of the ginning process is that when we look at the lint quality that was produced this year and we look at those grades, everyone, I think, was very pleasantly surprised. I know that I was really surprised. I was expecting to have much more difficulty with cotton quality this year because of all of those days that we experienced during the growing season that were at or above 100 degrees and all of the extreme weather that we had, both in terms of heat and drought situation. So I was pleasantly surprised by these grades, and I think most gin managers and producers were as well. And we have seen some places where there was a hard freeze and there was a lot of leaf material, and I want to take my hat off to these gin managers. I have seen a lot of samples that were really cleaned up nicely, even in spite of the fact that there was quite a bit of leaf trash in there.
Well, and are we at a point where we can kind of estimate what we think this crop will be this year?
You know, Tony, I think we're getting very close to that point at this time. Whenever we look at our classing office information, the latest report from November 30th shows that the Lubbock classing office has run samples on 810,379 bales. And they're projecting that number is 65% complete. And then down in the LAMESA office, as of November 30th, they had classed 134,000 bales and were estimating a 38% completion rate. So whenever you do the math on all of that, that puts that number somewhere in the range of around 1.6 million bales. And I do need to remind everyone that will not be the official High Plains number because, especially in the Lubbock office, they are going to be obtaining some samples that are coming in from the bordering states of New Mexico and Oklahoma and Kansas. So all of that will have to be separated out yet. And we had really hoped that we would have we knew that we'd have a less than average year. But we had really hoped that we'd be quite a bit higher in terms of production over last year. But I think those numbers are going to come in fairly similar, unfortunately. So that's kind of where we're at on this growing season. Just was a tough season all the way around. In terms of production nationwide, let me mention that. Let's go to world production first. The current projection is that the world is going to have 113.5 million bales of production. The U.S. is going to have around 13 million bales of production, and Texas is projected to produce 3.6 million. And also, whenever we look at those states out to the east, I know I get a lot of questions on that. And currently, both Arkansas and Georgia have classed over 1 million bales each as of November 30th. So that's where a lot of that production is coming from in the United States. So now as we wind this season down, we've got to start thinking about the upcoming season and thinking about where we're at in terms of production this year and in terms of production potential for 2024.
But we also have to keep in mind what we can get as far as a price for this cotton crop. With just a couple of minutes left, quality and price, those at the end of the day, one of the most important aspects.
Yes, sir. And because of the quality has been good on most of these bales, that is a good thing and does give us the opportunity to price at a higher level. But unfortunately, whenever we look globally at what's going on in terms of both cotton production and in terms of the economic situation out there in the world, with two fronts going on with different wars and with all of the high levels of inflation across the globe, not just in the United States, and with all of the economic uncertainty out there, that certainly has caused the demand for cotton to be down. Cotton is a discretionary crop, and by that I mean that people, they've got to go to the grocery store and buy groceries every week. However, they can make a shirt or a pair of blue jeans last a little longer than they would like to if that's necessary. And unfortunately, the demand has been down. I just saw a report from O.A. Cleveland, of course, a well-known cotton economist and professor emeritus. And he had an interesting report out called How the Grinch Stole Cotton's Christmas. And I'm going to steal a quote from O.A. Cleveland. He said that cotton's price dilemma currently is not demand. Cotton's price dilemma is demand and not production. And so I think that it's just important that we get some of these global issues solved and are able to develop or to continue to increase the demand for cotton as we look into 2024.
Well, speaking of 2024, we will have quite a few meetings coming up, including Plains Cotton Growers annual meeting. If we want to keep up with what's going on, either Plains Cotton Growers or regional type meetings, can we do that online?
Absolutely. And we try to keep that website up to date. And our website is at plainscotton.org. And if you go there, you can find our weekly newsletter. You can find a lot of good statistical information on High Plains cotton production. And also you can sign up for several different opportunities to get notices through social media or through our weekly newsletter via email. So again, that's plainscotton.org.
Mark Brown is Director of Field Services with Plains Cotton Growers on today's Agribusiness Report.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at deltapine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Special guest today, Mark Brown with Plains Cotton Growers.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton, to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
CalCon 24 is marching onward to Orlando, January 31st to February 2nd, 2024. Have your say in the future of the industry, network with fellow producers, or connect with friendly faces. Plus, the NCBA trade show will be on site with over 385,000 square feet of the latest and greatest in the cattle business to help your operation stay competitive and sustainable. Register today and learn more at convention.ncba.org.
You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Again, Mark Brown with Plains Cotton Growers online, plainscotton.org.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
It's Agriculture Today.
The latest in efforts to assist distressed farm loan borrowers impacted by events such as emergencies or pandemic.
1,300 borrowers. We're going to provide some level of relief, assistance, and resources.
Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack at South Carolina State University Thursday announcing approximately $208 million in automatic financial assistance will be available for qualifying farm and emergency loan borrowers. $80 million of assistance will go to borrowers with qualifying guarantees. Loans flagged for liquidation as of November 30th, while the remaining amount covers borrowers with current outstanding direct emergency loans. The secretary says this is the latest action within the Distressed Borrowers Initiative.
To date, over 31,000 borrowers who have done business with USDA, either through a direct loan or through a guaranteed loan at a bank that's guaranteed by the USDA, have received over $1.7 billion of assistance to become current on their loans to provide them the opportunity to breathe a little easier.
I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.